Integrated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Knowing the Holy Spirit. And now with the Word, here's Brother John.
Hey, let's take our Bibles, and I'm going to share just a word with you, and then we're going to let the Spirit come out and have a long word to share. But I feel like the Spirit just said to me, I've been studying in, I've got a new Bible, my Amplified Bible, and I've just been reading it like I've haven't read the Bible in years. It's just like it's brand new. Every story, I mean, even the story of David and Goliath, it was like, I knew what was going to happen. I knew he was going to pick up five stones. I knew he was going to kill Goliath. But it's like, I was still so excited to see what's going to happen next, you know. It was so fun. It's just been wonderful. So, and turn to the book of Ruth. We're going to read a little bit in Ruth, and then I'm going to share some insight the Lord has given me in through this book. You know, just before I share, and this kind of leading into it, we were in, I forget, where were we? Iowa, just a few weeks ago. And on the first night in Iowa, a woman came up, and she was just sharing how her husband comes to, with her to church, but he hates coming to church. He was a good old boy. He liked to sit on the back row and liked to sing three hymns and a short sermon and then let's go home. But this was a very free, charismatic church. And so they would sing for an hour and let the Lord just do it. And services would last 2-3 hours, you know. And he, every Sunday, he would go home and he'd be brum, 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 grumble, 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 just complaining. And so she shared all this and she said, you know, just to please pray for him. Well, at the invitation time, she came forward, and I just happened to be the one that was praying for her, and I did something that I hadn't done before, and I released an anointing on her to love her husband. I don't know why I did that, but it came out of my spirit. I released an anointing to love her husband. Well, she fell to the floor and just began to weep. The next day, she said to me, she told me the next night, she said, I went home that day and told my husband what I received, and he began to weep. He said, oh, he just began to weep. He came to church. And do you know that by the end of a 2-week revival that we were there, he was there in church, weeping, hanging on to me, receiving the Holy Ghost from a man who we didn't even think was saved, who hated church, but just came out of duty. But when a woman started to love her husband, and love is what brought that man through to the Lord. It really was. It was love that changed that household. It was love that changed that marriage. Love never fails. So I want to just, as with that little bit of introduction, read a little bit of Ruth, and let's just read, and I'll just share as we go what the Lord has shared with me. In the days when judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, man of Bethlehem of Judea, went to sojourn in a country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. And his two sons were called Mahlon and Chilion. Isn't this interesting? Mahlon, his name means invalid or weakling. And the word Chilion, the other son, means pining. So they didn't have a very happy household. It didn't sound like. If the one's an invalid and the other one's a griper and a groaner and a piner, it didn't sound like it was too happy of a household. And they were Ephrathites or whatever from Bethlehem of Judea. And they went to a country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, and his, who was Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. And they took two wives of the woman of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So the women were bereft of the two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law to return to the country of Moab, because she had heard in Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she left the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and started on the way back to Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me. The Lord grant that you find a home and rest, each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, No, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that I might become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it is far more bitter for me than for you that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And we could carry on reading the story, and they come back to the town of Bethlehem. And Naomi brings Ruth the Moabite test back to her city. And it's at the beginning of the very last verse, says it was at the beginning of the barley harvest. And you remember the story of how Ruth, because she so loved her mother-in-law, says, well, I'll go and glean in the fields. And she goes into the fields. And then look in this verse 3 of chapter 2. And Ruth went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to stop at the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. How many of you know that there's no happens in our lives? Oh, I just happened across this person or not. No. What does the word says? Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And you know, when I read that, I thought to myself, here is a poor, destitute woman. Come back with absolutely nothing. In fact, she says, I went out full and I've come back empty. I went out with a husband and two sons and I've come back with nothing but a daughter-in-law. In fact, I don't even have strength to go and glean in the field. My daughter-in-law needs to go and glean in the field. But it says she happened upon the field of Boaz. And then she gleans in the field, and she comes back and she's gathered all this food. And in verse 8, Boaz comes to the field, and then Boaz says to Ruth, Listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field or leave this one, but stay close to my maidens. Watch which field they reap and follow them. For I have charged the young men not to molest you. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face and she thanked him that I found favor in your sight, etc., etc. And you remember the whole story of what goes on after that. But there's some truths that I want to bring out here. The one of them is this. Do you know that God, Ruth in the Bible, is such a picture of the bride. Boaz is such a picture of the bridegroom. And Ruth, it absolutely gripped me like I was reading it for the first time when I read in chapter 1. When although Naomi had said to Ruth, Ruth, go back to your family. Go back to the people that you know. Go back to the culture that you know. Go back to your mother and your father and your brothers and sisters. Go back and find you a husband amongst your own people. And she turns to Naomi and she clings to her and weeps and cries out and says, Naomi, don't tell me to do that. And it so struck me, do you realize that Naomi had lived such a life in the land of Moab that she really had made a convert? She had so lived before the Lord in the whole country of the enemy. That's where we live, isn't it? In the enemy's country out there. But she's been such an example of the living God abiding in her, protecting her, living with her. And although she turns and is pretty bitter that her husband and so on died, but you have to realize that because she had lived so uprightly before the Lord, and the Lord had given her such favor. She'd really made a convert with Ruth. And Ruth realized that her gods, her family, her culture, her way of worship was not ever going to do it. It wasn't going to cut it. And she says to Naomi, "Oh, bid me not to leave you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. Your God will be my God." Is that a convert or what? Where you die, I'm going to die. Where you live, I'm going to live. Whatever you do, I'm going to... In fact, she says, "I'm going to walk in your footsteps." That's exactly what she's saying. I mean, Naomi had been such an example to Ruth. And she brought her right along. And she said, "All right, come on along." And then this was the other thought that struck me through this. Ruth had an absolute change of heart. You know, Peggy spoke about the bride of Christ, and that's just really my theme, and that's what I just love to speak on. But I want to tell you, for those of you that are called by the Lamb, that have been washed with the blood of the Lamb, you are the bride of Christ. He has said, you know what? He told me this. He is not coming back for a good wife. He's not coming back for a theologian. He's not even coming back for an evangelist. He's not coming back for a pastor. He's not coming back for any great prophet. He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a bride. And that means you, and that means me. Ruth, as the bride here, had a total turn of her heart. She was willing to leave her culture. She was willing to leave everything that she knew. She was willing to leave her gods and the way she would worship. She was willing to leave everything that she held close to follow Naomi, because she'd seen the living God at work and alive in Naomi. And the Lord said to me, the first thing that a bride has to know, there's got to be a total turnaround. And girls, too often, we're so tainted with the spirit of the world. We've got these ideas, those ideas. We've got all the stuff that is just all over in us. And our lives are so pulled in every direction. And the Lord says, we've got to set our eyes and set our goals. We're so busy with stuff, just stuff. The Lord says, set your eyes, set your goal. Set upon Him. Where you live, Lord, where you walk, Lord, wherever you're going, Lord, that's where I'm going. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to be your bride. I want to know your voice. I want to go wherever you're saying to go. Lord, I'm going to be a Ruth that'll follow close, right close in your footsteps. And then you know the story of how the Lord raises up Boaz and they get, Ruth gleans in the field and Boaz is so kind to her and so looks upon her with such favor. And the Lord showed me this, and some of you were here Sunday night and heard me share this, but I'm going to share it again. I looked up the name Boaz and I studied in one of John's books, and the word Boaz, the name Boaz, in the English means alacrity. Alacrity. And so I didn't actually know what alacrity means. So I had to go and look up in Webster's dictionary what alacrity means. And the word alacrity means this. It means prompt readiness, cheerful response, quickness, and eagerness. And you know, for so long, I've even confessed this. Well, God is up there and He's never early. He's always there. He comes at the last minute. How many of you have said that? God comes at the last minute. I mean, it's like we just sneak in there just by the skin of our teeth, you know. And I've said that. And in fact, a preacher friend of ours had this cute little saying, and we used to say it too. You know, God is old and slow, you know. Sounded funny. Sounded like real West Texan, you know. And so we would even say it. And then the Lord showed us how we were cursing ourselves with that. We were cursing God by our even words. But I want to tell you, God is not old and He's not slow. God has eternal youth in Him. And He is eager and He's quick and He is full of alacrity. He is full of a prompt response. He is lively and He's ready and willing and able to meet every need that you have. He is our Boaz. And you remember the story of Ruth when, after she had, you know, uncovered his feet and she lay at his feet. You remember this part of the story. I would take time to read it, but I'm not going to. And how she lay at his feet, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and she said to him, you know, "Would you spread your garment and cover me?" And he said, "Well, tell no one of this, but go home and I will see to it. And he goes home, and she goes home, and he gives her all this grain and everything. And she goes home to Naomi, tells Naomi what he had done. And Naomi says this very interesting word, and I'll read it to you. It's the last verse of chapter 3, I believe. Naomi says this: "Sit still, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he finishes the matter today." I want to tell you, some of you have got problems. Some of you felt like you waited on God, you've waited on Him, and He's so slow, and does He ever hear you? Your prayers are just hitting the ceiling. I want to tell you, God is not old and slow. He is going to see to it, and He will see to it today. In fact, the very day that you asked Him about it, He saw to it. I want to tell you, the very day that you lifted up your need to Him, He started to send it from heaven. He is not old and He's not slow. He knows. His ear is not deaf. His ear is towards you. And His arm is not shortened. His full-length arm is extended towards you. God is able to meet, and He will meet every single need that you have. So she says, I said, still my daughter. That's the problem, isn't it? Right there. See, and that's what God has had to expose in so many of our hearts. Instead of us sitting still and waiting for God to do it, we get our dirty little mitts in there, don't we? And we start working and conniving and planning and going to the bank and doing this and asking and hinting. And I mean, we just work up a frenzy. And while we're working up a frenzy, the Lord's saying, okay, when you're through, I'll do it. And you know what I've discovered as well? Especially with mothers, we are so full of anxious praying, aren't we? We're praying, and you're saying, oh Lord, I'm just praying for this child to get saved. And you pray, and you pray, and it's not faith praying, it's anxious praying. And the Lord said, would you just sit still, my child, and let me do it? Will you just sit still and watch me do it? Just sit still, my child. I'm going to do it. I heard the first time, sit still. Because you see, anxiety is not from Him. Anxiety is not faith. And without faith, you can do what? Nothing. You can't please Him at all. And you can't accomplish a single thing without faith. So it's like the Lord's saying to some of you tonight, sit still, my child. Take your dirty little mitts off and just give it to me. And watch me do suddenly. Watch me do today. I'm going to do it today. And you know what? Our Boaz, that Boaz, alacrity, quickness, readiness in response, that's what alacrity means. That very same day he went to the gates of the city, and he got hold of the next kinsman, which was the next in line. You know, it was kind of the law was the next person under Elimelech, his Naomi's husband, was due to marry Ruth, and if he didn't want to marry her, then Boaz was number two in line. So he goes to the number one in line and says, well, this is the story, would you like to marry Ruth and redeem her and redeem her field? And he said, no, I don't want to marry her. It was very interesting. He said, because she's a Moabitess, and that might interfere. Look, read it. I'll show it to you. You think I'm just kidding you. Verse 6. The kinsman said, 6 of chapter 4, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest by marrying a Moabitess, I endanger my own inheritance. Well, does that ever talk to you about prejudice? I mean, he didn't want to marry a Moabitess, did he? Take my rights of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So he negates his right of redemption, and he gives it over to Boaz, and Boaz then takes Ruth to be his wife. I mean, it was that very same day he takes her. And then just look in this last verse, chapter 15. Hang on. Boaz not only marries her, but he redeems her her land as well. Restorer of life, nourisher, support of my old age. No, okay. Let me just find out where this verse is. If you find it, tell me. Well, verse 7. Now, formerly in Israel, this was the custom concerning the redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, a man would pull off his shoes and give it to the other. Verse 8. Therefore, when the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, buy the field for yourself, he pulled off his sandal and gave to Boaz. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was in Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and all that was Mahlon's from the land of Naomi. also Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to restore the name of the dead to his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among the brethren and from the gates of the birthplace. You are witnesses to me this day. And you know, as I read that, I realized that, you know what, our Redeemer not only has redeemed us, Boaz not only redeemed Ruth to be his wife, but he redeemed her property, her land, her inheritance as well. You know, listen to this. Ruth had been a gleaner in his field. She had just gone behind the reapers and gleaned, trying to make a living, living from hand to mouth, gleaning in the field. But when Boaz married Ruth, he married her, redeemed her as a person, and he redeemed her inheritance. He became her husband and her redeemer. And so that Ruth wasn't a gleaner. She now owned the field. And you know, as I read that, I wrote in the bottom of my Bible, I read, how much better than being a gleaner to being an owner of the field. And I want to tell you, girls, it's so much better to be an owner of the field. Some of you are still gleaning in other people's fields. You're still living on the outskirts. You're just like, oh, I mean, it's just like you glean from other people. You glean from other people's spiritual life. Not that we shouldn't. We should speak into each other's life. But you know that you are dirt poor inside spiritually. And you just glean. You come to church and you just glean. You take a little bit from the preacher. You take a little bit from this person. And you're living on gleaning from other people. And the Lord says, I've redeemed you as a person, but I've also redeemed your land. You don't have to live in poverty anymore, spiritual poverty. He's redeemed you. He's made, given you an inheritance. He's given you eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to love. He has clothed you with His righteousness. He's given you the mind of Christ. He's given you wisdom that you know nothing of, not of this world, but a wisdom that comes from Him, comes from on high. He's given you everything you need for life and for godliness. And I know God's saying to me right now, there's some of you sitting here that feel like you've just been gleaning in other people's field. And the Lord says to you tonight, He has redeemed your field as well. He wants to give you eyes to see. He wants to give you a hunger from the Word. He wants to make you a source of life to others. Instead of you always gleaning from other people's life, He wants to put that living water within you. He wants to put that well within you so that you become a source of life to give to others. Do you understand what I'm saying? Boaz was that to Ruth, but Ruth didn't stay there. There's a time when we do stay there. We've all been gleaners at one point or other in our lives. But it's a time for us to move on from gleaners to those that have inherited the land and allow gleaners to come after us. Do you see what I'm saying? It's time for the church to grow up, in other words. It's time for you to get into that secret place of intimacy, to become the bride like Ruth became to Boaz, to become the bride so that she had something to give to others. And I want to tell you, girls, you'll never get something to give to others just by gleaning. You'll be eating from hand to mouth, hand to mouth. You'll be living by the skin of your teeth. But when you get into that place of intimacy and become the bride, like Ruth was with Boaz, and become his bride, and you walk right into that inner chamber, and you become his bride, then he not only is your husband, but he's also your redeemer. Do you see what I'm saying? He's redeemed your land. He's redeemed your inheritance. And too long the enemy has stolen that inheritance from you. Too long he's stolen from you. And he wants to give you now that land back so that you can allow others to glean in your field. So those other people can follow in your footsteps, just like Ruth did to Naomi, because there's coming a time when they'll have their own field. And they'll see, that's how we do. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been talking about all week long. That's what we spoke about last night. Fruitfulness. Allowing the Spirit to so move in us, so through us, so that it becomes fruitful to the man at the gas station, to the man who gave you the money orders, to the person who washes your car, it's like the fruitfulness will flow out of our lives, just flow out of our lives. There may be somebody here who's going through a real hard time, and the Lord said this to me, do you realize that Ruth has been named in the line of Jesus? If you read in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew, where you give the line of Jesus, starting in Abraham, going all the way through David and all of them, right up to Jesus. Ruth, the Moabitess, is named. Do you realize that? Do you know that Rahab, remember who Rahab was? The woman in Jericho, you know, who let the spies out. You know who her son was? Boaz. Rahab's son was Boaz. Isn't that amazing? Rahab was a Canaanite. Her son was Boaz. Boaz marries a Moabitess, Ruth. These aren't even pure Jews. But God in His grace, God in His grace, brings them into the line of Jesus. Now listen, this is what the Lord said to me. Naomi needed to go into Moab in order so that she could meet Ruth and bring her back to marry Boaz. You see, standing on this side of the field, we can see the whole picture. When Naomi was in Moab and everything was wrong, her husband was dying, her kids were dying, the place was in famine. I mean, she was just in the pit. And she's thinking, how in the world? What in the world? God has left me. There's no place out. I mean, I'm just in the pit. But you know what? Naomi needed to go to Moab. I love the story of Jesus when he says, I have needs go through Samaria. Do you remember that story in John chapter 4? I have needs go through Samaria because there was one woman at the well of Samaria that needed to know about the living water that I was going to give her so that a whole town could be saved. Naomi needed to go to Moab so she could bring back Ruth for Boaz and bring her into the line of Jesus. That pure, wonderful line that God had been watching over right from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I mean all the way up to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That brought such encouragement to my heart. Some of you feel like you're going through a hard time right now. I want to tell you, God knows about your hard time. And there's a purpose in the hard time you're going through. There's a purpose in it. And maybe it's, you might see it as a little detour, but it's a detour of character strength. It's a detour of God doing some big work in your life. It seems like a detour, but really it's not a detour at all. Because God is using it to grow you, to mature you, to bring you to that place of maturity and Christ-likeness. Naomi needed to go that route. And the ultimate was, Ruth married Boaz. They had a child. They named him Obed, which means servant. And he was the father of David. Jesse was the father of David, and you can just go on down the line. You see, nothing happens just by accident. God knows every footstep you've taken today. He knows where you're at in your marriage. Nothing happens by accident. Girls, I want to tell you, nothing happens by accident. You might think, oh, this. No, nothing happens. You don't happen upon Boaz's field. Your steps are ordered by Him. That's why I started out by saying, the Lord knows where you're sitting. The Lord knows what clothes you've got on. The Lord knows what chair you're sitting on. Do you know that before the foundation of the earth, He knew where you would be on this night? He had it planned. He had it planned. He even knows how you've got your hands. Some of you like this, some of you like this. He knows everything about you. It almost gets scary, but it gets so comforting. Because He knows about you and He loves you yet. And I want to tell you tonight that your Boaz is moving swiftly on your behalf if you will just take your hands off and let Him do it. Glory to His name. Let's pray.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.